Live from the government's secret weather control center in Area 51, Nevada, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, author, statesman, well-loved politician, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligators, a man who's known how to ride a bicycle since he was 13 years old, Richard J. Ringhausen. Also featuring, get ready, marksman, sculptor, daredevil, the seven-time World Welterweight Alligator Wrestling Champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who can speak 15 languages, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers, and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Yay! Do I hear an extra set of hands clapping here?
You do, because I've got a guest in the studio. I'd like to welcome Dr. Jacqueline Graham with us.
Happy to be here.
Dr. Graham? Moonlight?
Moonlight Graham. Moonlight Graham. She doesn't even know what you're talking
Jacqueline
about.
Jacqueline Ringhausen Graham.
What is the Dr. Graham reference, Moonlight Graham?
I have no idea.
Oh, Field of Dreams.
Okay.
You haven't watched Field of Dreams?
It's the Build It, They Will Come.
Yeah, right? That's it.
Okay.
Why are you here? I don't know. I can go eat a tuna sandwich instead if you'd like.
You pulled her away from a tuna sandwich to be on
the
show.
To be a guest on the show.
Yeah.
Okay, the song at the intro.
Uh-huh. What about it?
Who was it? What was it?
Low Rider.
Yeah. How about that?
By War.
War Pigs.
No, War Pigs was the dead Ozzy Osbourne song.
That's right.
These guys also, I think you had the song, Why Can't We Be Friends?
Yeah.
And they teamed up with Eric Burdon from the Animals and did, what was that song where he's a long-haired leaping gnome?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no idea.
Spill the Wine.
Oh, Spill the Wine. I looked up Spill the Wine. You once told a story that Spill the Wine was about heroin use, and it is not. You just picked up some internet thing that was wrong.
No, you can admit you're wrong because that
song is not about shooting up heroin.
I don't know. I don't think I know this song.
You know, nerdy people like you say that kind of thing. But with it, people who are like the in crowd and know the deep down secrets, things that aren't even on the internet. You're not wasting your time there.
Alan Ringhausen in the dark internet.
You're just going to take my word on this, Rick. I never lie.
Okay.
Okay, so, but I tell you, the other thing about the group War, they have mastered the use of cowbell in their songs.
What, are you playing the song right now? Oh, okay, yeah. You've heard this song.
Spill the Wine.
They got that little instrument that you rake your stick across. It's
like a wash. It's like a wash.
It's only used. You can only use it once in your career.
You get the grade school kids to play.
Yeah, exactly.
The kid that can't play any instrument.
Here you go.
Okay, Rick. Your father and I went to a one-room schoolhouse in our early days. And they had a music department. You remember the music department, Rick?
Oh. I remember the music department. It was a box of instruments designed for monkeys or idiots.
How would they separate out the classes? Like, if you're doing music, does just everyone do it at the same time? Or?
Well, it'd kind of be like inside the school recess. And we had one teacher, Mrs. Allen, and she was just kind of do what you want type thing. But what I remember is the musical instruments were in the corner cabinet, and we just kind of, it was a big giant cabinet, and we'd go inside of it and play with the instruments. But they had a wood block, and they had a tambourine, and they had, I think that was it.
That sounds like fun. Okay. I would like that.
Here is the discussion we were having earlier today.
Yeah, okay.
You and I, what generation are we?
the hip generation.
Yeah, not.
We are the generation
the
to be from.
Generation.
We're baby boomers.
Baby boomers. And before us was the greatest generation.
Whatever.
One world
war. Yeah, let me tell you something. There's more of us than there were of them now.
Yeah, I agree with that. So what came after the baby boomers? What generation was that?
I don't know.
Don't care?
Isn't it like X?
Gen
something?
X.
Oh, yeah. There was something in between, wasn't there?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Really? Okay, so Gen X, yeah.
And then
yeah.
There's the millennials.
Yeah, millennials.
And go ahead. Are you a millennial?
I'm a millennial, yeah. All your children are millennials.
But what they were saying, what the discussion was amongst my kids was that millennials are considered to be like old people by this newest generation.
Is that right?
And that that Harry Potter...
Yeah.
Is if you like Harry Potter, that's a mark of being a millennial.
Wow.
And they make fun of you for that.
I was in Chicago recently, and I was talking about when you go up and down Michigan Avenue, there were only like four places that had lines of people going out the door waiting to get in. And one of them was the Harry Potter store.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And there were people wearing wizard robes out on the street waiting to get in.
I dressed up for Harry Potter movies.
Do you have
like
recent,
when I saw them in
recently?
Theaters? I mean, in theaters, obviously not recently.
What movies did people dress up to go to when we were young?
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Rocky Horror Picture
Show.
They
still dress up for that.
And they still do it.
Yeah. Throw the toast at the
You're
screen.
You're kidding.
Oh, yeah.
They absolutely
you ever been
do.
To, Jackie, you ever been to Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Yeah.
Like the midnight show where they throw this stuff at the screens?
I think the Tivoli in St. Louis.
Yeah. What's the name of the guy that's got the long, stringy gray hair? Because half the people going there now dress like him.
Oh, Riff Raff.
Riff Raff. Riff Raff. Riff Raff, yeah. Because they're all his age.
But yeah, no, millennials like Harry Potter and part her hair on the side. That's another giveaway.
What?
If you part your hair on the side instead of the middle, you're a millennial.
What are you talking about?
That's what, it's true.
What if you don't have hair?
Well, then you're lucky. You can be whatever you want to
be. It's a really big part.
So you're parting your hair on the side.
I know.
So
I'm a millennial.
So you're giving yourself away
I'm
as,
fine
being,
with it.
As being old?
I've tried part in the middle. It looks
Who's your
it
favorite Harry
terrible.
Potter character?
Oh, man. That's a big question. I'll have to think on this one.
Wow.
What? I like Luna Lovegood a lot. She's pretty cool.
Who's your favorite uncle?
Huh? Sirius Black? He's an uncle in Harry Potter.
Okay, there we go. There we go.
She didn't bite on that one,
no,
did
no,
she?
No, I didn't. No.
Okay, so Jackie, going back years and years and years ago, you were part of this show back when we were still on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. I was the weather person.
And you were totally unqualified to be giving those kind of reports.
No,
to give a weather
what a
report.
Lie. I was in weather school. I was given the reports. I did my duty.
Is that what they call it?
I woke up at
the
7 a.m.
Fellow students call it, well, we're all in weather school together.
Yeah, basically.
We studied clouds and bolts of lightning and wind.
It was hard. And honestly, like when I started the program, you know, they were like, oh, say like 15 of us, and each year there'd be less and less. And then when I graduated, there were only 5 people in my class.
Just really weeded them out.
Yeah, because the math, there's so much math. People hate math and they drop out.
There's
they don't
math
realize.
Involved in weather?
You get a math minor just getting a weather degree.
Wow, really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
I did not know.
Yeah, you got to take up to differential equation.
Does everybody just do the...
Diffie Q.
Yeah.
Do the weather routine that Bill Murray does in Groundhog Day?
Well, it's going to be cold.
A lot of
it's going to be
coming
dark,
down
and
from
it's
going to
last you the rest of your life.
It's going to come
life.
Sweeping in from...
You had a different quote than me.
What was his quote?
It's going to be cold, it's going to be dark, and it's going to
last
you
the
rest
of
your
life.
Yes.
No, I wasn't talking about that.
Oh, okay.
When you graduate weather school, do they just give you a t-shirt that has that on the front of it?
They should.
Okay, when you actually got your PhD, did you have like a beret or did you have a flat-topped graduation hat?
No, I had the octagon. So it was like flat on top. It had like a little kind of tiny tassel, and it was blue, and I had a blue ornate robe. It was very Harry Potter, honestly. But
did you have a wand?
No, I wish.
when she got her doctorate degree, Sue and I could not go to Huntsville to watch. We couldn't go down there for that. So she tells us how to watch it.
You're not allowed in Huntsville?
A live stream.
Is it because of your communist background, Rick?
No, Alan. Huntsville is full of ex-Nazis.
Oh, that's right.
So a good ringhouse like me should be fine.
It was at the Von Braun Center.
Yeah, what were you gagging me about before we started here?
I was talking about this picture you've got on the shelf over here, and it's one of these, you know, like, touching sentimental things, and on the border it says memories, and you and your buddies, you know, have your arms around each other, but you're wearing a swastika armband.
Oh, what a great image.
Okay. It was when our theater group did Sound of Music, and I was the Nazi that chased the Von Trapps out of Germany.
Yeah, I remember.
And I was in, and we just finished one of the plays that night, and it was a success. And I was wearing my costume
around town,
not a uniform. And they took a picture. So yes, I mean, this is why I can never be Pope or President, because the picture
you
of me
have heard of Photoshop
with
right?
a swastika on, I guess.
Wow. Okay.
But I really don't believe in it.
Don't believe in photoshopping things?
Nazism.
Oh, okay.
And Jackie was it? You were.
I'm glad
you were Gretel in that, weren't you?
I was Gretel. I wasn't a Nazi. I was fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You were part of the good side.
Yeah.
That was Jackie's stage debut, and she was one of the Von Trapp kids in The Sound of Music.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I saw a thing on the internet about they had a reunion of all the. People that were in
Von Trapp actors,
the living ones. Now.
Yeah, because they're starting to die off.
Yeah, they are.
I think that oldest one died not too long ago.
I thought about going to the Sound of Music place when I was in Austria, but I didn't end up going.
Didn't want to climb the mountain?
No, I didn't climb the mountains.
Didn't want to climb every mountain?
No, I didn't.
Weren't they in Salzburg?
Didn't search high or low.
I thought the Von Trapps were in Salzburg.
Mm-hmm. I think that's correct.
In real life.
Yeah. Thing I remember about The Sound of Music when we did the play more than anything was that there was one scene where it was supposed to be like during a thunderstorm, and all the Von Trapp kids were like sneaking.
Terrified.
Yeah, and they were sneaking across the stage in the play, you know.
Yeah.
And lightning crashes.
Oh.
And they had the little one going first, you know, leading the way. And when the lightning crashes, they all run off and just leave the little one alone by herself on stage. And that was Jackie by herself on stage, and she hated that scene.
Oh, I did hate that.
Why?
I don't know.
It's your
I just
moment.
Hated it.
It's your moment
it
in the
so,
sun.
Like, cheesy in my brain, like, to be like...
You're just a little kid. What do you mean it was cheesy?
It just felt like it. I still had those thoughts. And I was kind of a bad... I don't know. I wasn't a very good actress. And also, like, when someone would miss a line, I, like, memorized everyone's lines, and I'd be like...
You blurted it out?
They messed up their line, Kristen. She'd be like, shut up. They should have been this.
It's good now. When you're in a play like that, and you're the Von Trapp kids, and the whole play is about the fact that the Von Trapp kids are these great singers that form like a singing group and everything.
Right.
And through the grace of God, somehow your mother and I's genetics allow you to sing on key. And Kristen. And yeah. Kristen was one of the Von Trapp girls too. So the two of you could sing on key.
Okay.
Could all of the Von Trapp kids in that production sing on key?
It's all right. Nobody listens to this.
Most of them.
You can say whatever you want.
Most of them are probably dead.
No, they're not. What are you talking about? I think that we did fine. I think we sang enough on key that it was good enough.
There's obviously somebody in this group that bothered Rick.
I was just asking.
Like
come
it.
On. Say it.
I always know when. I know who's the bad singers in a group.
Well, I felt like it was fine.
What did they say?
I was in that group.
They say, when you look around and can't tell who the bad singer is, it's you.
You're it, Barney. So, getting back to your career.
Oh, yeah. PhD.
As
PhD. Dr. Ringhausen. Dr. Graham.
Dr. Graham. What do you do? What do you do with a... PhD in weather.
In leather? I mean, you'd study the leather.
Haven't they learned everything that there is possibly to know about weather at this point?
Not at all.
We can expect lightning. We can expect wind. Clouds.
Yes, but when? When are you going to get that? And what's causing it? And how strong is it going to be? And where is it going to be? We don't know all those things all the time.
And? What's the answer?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we're studying it.
But you're done studying it.
No, we're not.
You're controlling it now.
People are still...
And by the way, it's all being controlled by a group of Democrats that live in an ice station at the north border of Alaska.
Yeah, I'd say Alaska would be the place if someone was going to control the weather. But
did you say, though, that in Hunt... You're in Norman, Oklahoma now, right?
Yeah.
Go Sooners. Did you say that there's people that sabotage your weather stations?
Oh, yeah. That was recently. No, it was the radars. They had, like, a group that came together and tried to destroy all the radars because they thought they were controlling
the weather.
It was really stupid.
That is extremely stupid.
Yeah.
So you
did they catch them?
Yeah. Okay. But I think they got to one radar before they caught them.
Did they get pardoned?
Well, probably. But, yeah, it's not a great time to be a weather person. But, no, my job, I'll, like, go out and set out sensors in front of, like, a storm so we can measure what's going on inside
Just like on Twister.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Where you're trying to get a bunch of little plastic balls to fly up into a tornado and make a tornado shape on a computer screen?
Yeah, I mean, we have other sensors. We actually have the Dorothy, like, in the building where I was working. The Dorothy from that movie is, like, in the lobby.
If you want to learn about that and how it all works, your Uncle Dennis has this plastic jug. Uncle Dan has this plastic jug with a device that creates a tornado inside of a plastic. And he has like crumbled up pieces of styrofoam in there that show the pattern of
a tornado cyclone.
Yeah. I mean, I've made a tornado machine before.
He already had it.
Yeah,
hi. He spent $1.95 to get this device to hook 2 liter bottles together.
But unfortunately,
instant tornado.
That's not how it works in the real world. But yeah, my specialty is lightning.
I think Dennis would contradict you on that.
And we still don't know like how lightning initiates. We have a bunch of theories of how it initiates, but none of it like actually matches the math of what we measure.
So, nobody knows what's making lightning.
Yeah. We know some theories about it, and we have observations of some things, like collisions of hydrometeors and ice exchange charge, and then they build up and separate because one's heavier than the other. But the fields that you get typically aren't as strong as you would need to get over that breakdown field.
So you just end any of these conversations with, it's too technical to explain.
No, that wasn't that technical. I feel like people would understand.
That's how the Wizard of Oz handled it.
But like, why things strike certain spots and not others? Like, you know, why is it, there's a big tree right here and then it strikes the ground next to it.
Do you know that they have the ability to tell you where lightning strikes at any moment in the United States?
What do you mean?
You can do that across the globe.
I mean that, like the other night, we had a big storm here, and she sent me a map that showed over 3,000 lightning strikes within 1 hour in Jersey County.
Okay, so?
That machine was able to show the location of where,
where they occurred, but it doesn't show where they're going to occur.
Yeah, it's not predicting.
It's
after the fact.
It's after the fact.
Okay, well...
I just thought that was pretty
useless.
You didn't think that was cool? I thought that was pretty cool.
I've seen the lightning strike maps. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Okay, let me ask you this. For like a kajillion years, people have been putting lightning rods on barns.
Mm-hmm.
Do they do anything?
Yeah, they can, as long as they're grounded.
They burn your barn down.
If they're grounded, you have to ground them.
Okay,
but
so
yeah.
they will draw the lightning
and it'll
go down to the ground and kill all your cows.
Well, hopefully the cows aren't standing there, but yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to go
into
that.
If lightning strikes water, does it kill the fish?
It can.
Stuns them.
Yeah.
Like they're all close enough to the surface.
Yeah, like those fish shockers. You ever see a fish shocker?
No, I've never seen a fish shocker.
You never seen a fish shocker?
No.
Have you seen a fish shocker?
I have not.
Okay, so I go hang out with the Natural History Survey guys once in a while. And they'll come and, you know, like they could go into a body of water, like a lake or whatever, and to test the fish population, they have this special boat with this, it's a series of rods that stick out in front of the boat and these cords that drape down into the water, just kind of the surface of the water, and they send an electric shock, mild electric shock into the water that will temporarily stun the fish, and they'll float to the top to where they can, you know, tag them and measure mm-hmm. them and all these things, and then slowly but surely they, you know, get there.
So it's not just killing them.
It doesn't just kill them, no. It stuns them.
Hmm, that makes sense.
Like, or if you could do that in a movie theater.
Like being tasered.
Just drag it down through there and you just stun it for a few months.
Like being tasered.
Yeah, kind of like being tasered.
Yeah.
But probably not quite as violent.
Did you know that the cops who taser people, right?
Have to be tasered before they can taser.
That is correct. When they go to training.
It's like an initiation.
You get what? You get tasered.
That's a fact.
That's 100%
accurate.
Do you know
how people are feeling so you have empathy?
That's right.
Yeah, so that okay. So that you don't just...
Before you just start shooting everybody with
it. I mean,
it.
I kind of like
that.
I got
a taser.
You know, I was sitting at the sheriff's office. This is back when I was state's attorney, right? I'm in Jersey County. And I was sitting there, and they're talking about getting tasered through school. And one of them's like, you want to try it? You want to get tasered? Like, you know, and he's serious.
Right.
Can we get no, I don't want to get tasered, you know? And it's like he's got his hand on the thing just yeah, waiting for me to say, yeah, he's going to give me a shock right there in the sheriff's office.
It's kind of like the thrill. You know, do you remember like those pens that would shock you?
Yeah.
If you'd, like the fake ones?
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I'd like want to try it just to see, you know? And it's just
Dennis
that,
has
that feeling.
Like this device that you hold on to. Well, I think there used to be like a game, you know? Like
you could go into bars and do this.
Yeah, you could hold on to the thing. It'd start shocking you, and it would just keep getting more and more powerful until you couldn't hold on to it anymore.
And you see what sort of a tough guy could hold on to it the longest.
But he has like a handheld device, you know, that's this mild shock thing, and you know, it'll tingle you, and it's got all these different settings. And he was doing, well, I went up to 3. I said, just put it on 10 and turn it on. I'm going to just do it and get it over with.
What?
And you did?
Yeah. Did it just shoots up your arm?
Oh God!
Did it take away 10 years of your life?
That would be Princess Bride.
Princess Bride.
Very similar to that.
So, have you ever been shocked? Have you ever been shocked accidentally?
I've been just shocked in general, yeah.
Yeah, what are those? You have machines in your laboratory that create mock lightning, you know, like simulates lightning, right? Some of those.
We have
of those Tesla devices and stuff like that.
We don't have like a big Tesla coil that's like shooting giant lightning. No, we do not. We have like smaller devices like Vandegrift generators. But they're real small shocks.
Like a Jacob's ladder type thing.
Which agency or college has the biggest equipment that will make the biggest lightning bolt? If you're wanting to test this kind of stuff.
I know that. Okay, so there's different ways. Like, you can rocket trigger lightning, so actually shoot a rocket into the cloud and trigger lightning.
Really?
Yeah, they do that.
Send up the lightning rocket.
Yeah, and it has, like, a little, like, copper wire attached, so it, like, triggers it through that, and then a real channel comes to ground. They do that in New Mexico and in Florida. So both of those schools have pretty good programs for if you want to trigger lightning.
The lightning rocket. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. We had a big giant, we were trying to do it with a big arrow, like a metal arrow that we would shoot up.
Do they send, is this lightning rocket big enough to put like mice in it or
monkeys?
No, you're not going to do that. You want them to get fried?
No, I wanted to test the effects on them of lightning. Yeah. Living through a lightning strike.
Okay, well, no, we don't
can
do
we
that.
Build a better mouse?
Well, wait, I want to go back to what you're saying. You're telling me that you guys decided someone was going to just like literally take like a bow and arrow and pull the thing back and shoot an arrow up into the sky?
Yeah, we tested it. There was a hole in our lab because the test went wrong. And then it got confiscated on an airplane once.
Imagine
when
that.
We tried to bring it on a field campaign. There you can also do with balloons, like metal metallic balloons.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah. And then some people do lasers, like Sweden has a big old laser that they shoot up into the sky to trigger lightning.
Who does?
They're the ones controlling the weather now.
Sweden?
Mm-hmm.
don't know if they're supposed to be peaceful.
I can see that, though. I don't
trust
them.
But, like, Tesla...
No, that's the Swiss.
In lab, like, kind of stuff is also New Mexico, like Sandia Labs has a lot of that kind
of
stuff.
There's a lot of fishy stuff going on in New Mexico.
Yeah, they got a lot of those...
Have you ever got to go see it? Have you ever got to go see that stuff?
No, I've never gone over there. I know a lot of people that work there, but I've never...
You ever been on the International Space Station?
No. What? Why would I have been there?
To look at the weather from above.
I've been
above.
To Mission Control for the International Space Station.
What did you just say? You have?
Yeah, it's in Huntsville.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Marshall Space Flight Center.
You live in Oklahoma.
Yes.
Have you been to the Oklahoma Museum of Skulls yet?
You mean the Osteology Museum? Yes. I have not.
How about that, smart guy?
How can you live there and not go rushing over there?
Because why don't you people have told me that they didn't like it, and I haven't gone.
Somebody told you they didn't like it.
Yeah, they said it was underwhelming, and I was like, well, what?
How about the Roy Rogers Museum?
Is that in Oklahoma?
Now, who am I thinking of? Who is that? Who is the homespun wit guy?
Will Rogers.
Will Rogers. The Will Rogers Museum.
I mean, the Will Rogers Airport is.
Was Will Rogers and Roy Rogers related?
No,
I don't know.
You don't know.
I'm pretty sure not.
But you don't know.
I want to go to that.
I do know.
You mentioned somewhere
to the Spiral Mound Museum.
Spiral Mound Museum. Yeah. Okay.
Spiral Mound Museum.
What's the coolest museum you ever been to?
Well, we weren't done talking about Spiral Mound yet. Don't you want to know what Spiral Mound is?
Yeah, what's Spiral Mound?
Spiral Mound is like the King Tut tomb of the United States of America. There was this mound in Oklahoma called Spiral Mound.
Has been pillaged.
And they dug into the center of it, and the center of it was hollow, and it was full of Native American treasures. And I mean, when I'm saying treasure, I'm not talking about just like arrowheads and stone artifacts.
Which are treasures.
Which are. But inside of it, they also had, it was like perfectly preserved. And there were like Native American clothing and moccasins and headdresses and all kinds of things that, and a lot of, you know, like tools and utensils and weapons made of wood that had not disintegrated. But, you know, most of the stuff from 5,000 years ago, it's all gone except for the stone artifacts. But in this case, everything was still intact.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, actually.
So,
and it got plundered. I mean,
that was my question.
The guy bought the mound, and he sold the rights to dig into it, and these artifacts got sold all over the world.
Aww.
And, you know, there's an effort to reunite the Spiral Mound artifacts in the Spiral Mound Museum.
Well, that's kind of cool.
But nobody knows about it. And it's this super famous thing. Everybody knows about Cahokia Mounds because they're big.
Yeah, but they never dug into them and found a big hollow spot.
Oh, yes, they did.
Oh,
they found a cache of Native American artifacts in the Cahokia Mounds, like in one side of, not the big mound, but one of the lesser mounds that are just works of art.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Do you believe him?
Yeah, I'd believe them. Okay. Why not?
What about the new Cahokia Mound on the other side of the interstate?
The ones that we built?
Yeah, have they dug
the modern day
have
man?
They dug into that? It's
no,
full of treasures.
10,000 years from now, they will
they're
be fascinated.
Dig into that, and it'll just be...
Well, we're talking about, like, there's these giant landfills not far from Cahokia Mounds, and we'd drive by there, you know, with my kids. So there they are, kids. Cahokia Mounds, right here.
That's what I said to
they're
Dad.
Huge.
That's what I said to Dad the other day when we drove by there. He said, oh, that's just a landfill.
If you drive by there at night, they
but
have...
But it's bigger than Monk's Mound.
Oh, way bigger. If you drive by at night, they have methane flames burning on it.
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's awesome.
And every one of them landfills across the country is the same way, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You're preserving... For the future.
I think so. Yeah. I think it's going to be a disturbing mixture of rotten stuff, you know, that nobody really wants to dig into.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
but there'll be
like
artifacts.
Plastic lasts a really long time.
There will definitely be artifacts in there. Of one kind or another. Things you don't want to know about. Nothing. Nothing that you want to see. 10 million disposable diapers all in one spot.
I mean, I think those would biodegrade by then, right?
You don't know that. But you'll find out soon enough.
Okay. That's true.
The thing I remember, I'm going to talk about having the first baby we had, Alex, right?
Yeah.
When he was a baby.
Yeah.
And
you didn't know anything. Didn't you had know no nothing, idea what you were doing.
Not a clue. They gave you a baby at the hospital and said, take him home and raise him any way you want.
Yeah.
And the first thing we discovered was that, to definitely show we didn't know what we were doing, was that our mother showed up to give advice, and she brought a whole bunch of cloth diapers and safety pins and rubber pants. Gross. And all that stuff.
My God.
And for the first week, we used those.
Oh, my God. What a mistake. What a joke.
Yeah, why did you just wait a whole week?
I don't know. Because we were idiots. You know? I'm giving you fatherly advice.
Some things never change.
Don't do that. So then we switched, of course, to Pampers right away. Huh. But then
Lifesavers.
But then you get into the whole business of what to do with them.
Oh, yeah.
Until trash pickup.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, well, I thought you were talking about the baby at first.
No, I'm talking about the used diapers. And there is a whole industry of ways that they store those things.
We had Diaper Genie.
And what's a Diaper Genie?
It looks kind of like a trash pail. And it has this like plastic liner in it. And you drop a diaper in it, and you turn this crank, and it isolates that diaper.
We had one of those too, and it's like a string of
sausages,
a string of pearls or sausages of soiled diapers.
Yeah, it contains the smell and any movement. Oh yeah, they were wonderful. You need a diaper genie.
That's good to know.
Well, that's so simple.
And now the trash doesn't smell for a week.
Yay!
What I do remember. When we had our first child, and I can remember, you know, at the hospital, everything's fine. You know, somebody else is taking care of it for the first few days. And then they hand it to you to take home. And I can remember walking in the house, stepping in the door of the house in our living room, and I'm holding
my
oldest daughter, and I'm looking around the house, and there's nobody coming to my aid.
Oh, my gosh.
This is forever.
And it's going to live with whatever mistakes I make.
Yeah.
Yowza. And you have this to look forward to.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And when you have a kid, you don't realize when you first bring home that first, you know, few days that you're going to be lying to it for the rest of its life.
Okay.
Well, we never did that.
Now, who's your godfather?
My godfather, yeah. Brad.
Okay, so you've got Dr.
Brad.
Brad.
You've got Dr. Ferd as yours.
Yeah.
So if you have questions, you just call Brad.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
And ask him.
He'll help you out.
You know what?
He's had zero experience.
I was
going to
say.
He knows nothing.
You know what I've noticed? Kristen, I've got Kristen back home every so often now. She stays with us. But like when Sue and I are gone, right, when we're in Florida and Kristen's up here watching the house, anything that goes wrong, she now thinks that she can call her godfather, Dennis.
To correct everything.
At any time of the day or the night to come rescue her or fix her or pick her up or give her a car or whatever she needs. She thinks that Dennis is the go-to person because he's her godfather.
My opinion on that is she's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So, Jackie, Brad's your guy.
Go-to guy, yeah.
Yeah.
You need a babysitter? You guys going away on a long trip? Don't bother calling your mom and dad. You call Brad.
She calls, and then, yeah, like 2 days later, she gets a text, stop calling me.
Number blocked.
Rick and Jackie.
Is it out of time?
We're out of time, Dr. Graham.
I'll be dogged. Well, it's been wonderful having you, Dr. Graham.
We call it the lightning hour with Dr. Graham.
Oh, boy.
See you later from Rick Gator.
Jackie Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Rick Gator, Jackie Gator, and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. The part of Gretel Von Trapp was played by Jacqueline Ringhausen Graham.